It's all you got to lean on, but thank God it's all you need. And all the people said amen. Oh, and all the people said amen. Give thanks to the Lord, for His love never ends. And all the people said amen.
Good morning. This is Pastor Hank. I want to welcome you to Central Christian Center. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Honored first-time attenders and cherished members, we are so glad that you're here. Whatever you need, I believe God's already provided it for you, and it's our desire today to help you receive from Him. Let's just enjoy the presence of God and receive what God has for us today.
I saw something happen, and just trust me and listen to the message today, because there's a stirring, and God is already beginning to move, and He began to move. He began it with our little kids, and it's exciting. But I'm going to need some help from some of y'all. Next week, we've got Van and Tammy Benson coming. They're inviting a lot of people that normally don't come here. And what I need is, some of those folks don't go to church anywhere, and what I want them to see is that this is a friendly church and that we love them and that we're glad we're here. And so I need a bunch of you. Matter of fact, I need all of you and then about double of you so you can tell somebody else. But I need you to show up next week ready to just smile and some shake some people's hands and tell them you're glad they're here and just be kind of a lover, welcoming kind of a thing. How many would help me with that? Is that all? How many would help me with that? All right. Yeah, I got two hands up. All right. So you can put your feet down back there, Jerry. You can put your feet down. But anyway, good to have Randy and Jesse back with us. And also, all of you that can come to the movie tonight and help us be friendly to people, that we have folks come from other churches or something, and let's show them Jesus. How about that? Does that sound good? So how many's going to help me next week? Who'll help tonight? All right, good. Thank you. Y'all are pretty special people. I want to talk about Elijah today, and just for a few minutes, and I want to kind of use Elijah to kind of compare him to our lives and what's going on. How many know we read testaments in the old, or stories in the Old Testament, to find out how God moves and what He does in our life? And I want to be all He can be, or all I can be for Him, don't you? And I want to be able to hear Him, and I want to be able to, I just think God's got some good things going and some good things coming, and I want to be part of it. Do you? Okay, how many are here today? Okay. How many stayed home? Okay. All of y'all are here then. Okay. So anyway, Elijah was a prophet of God. He was a miracle worker who lived in the northern kingdom of Israel during the reign of King Ahab. And when we think of Elijah, we think of he caused it not to rain, and God supernaturally provided for him. He raised this widow's son from the dead, and there's a whole other thing. But I just want to look at his life for a little bit, and I'll go through this, skim through it kind of speedily, because I want to get to the point. But in 1 Kings 17, we begin to read about Elijah. And how many of you know the story? God sent Elijah to Ahab and to tell him, it's not going to rain. It's not going to rain for 3.5 years. And verse 2 is what I want to say something here, or read something here. Everybody take a breath. I'm trying to hurry, and I don't have to hurry. Okay? And let me just mention, don't anybody leave early. I have something I want to give you at the end of the service. Okay, so don't leave early. Praise the Lord. Holy Spirit, help me say what you want me to say today. And we give you praise and glory. Amen. as I look at Elijah's life, I see similarities to mine. God had a mission. He had an assignment. He had his will that he wanted done, and he used Elijah to get this done. And the part I liked is in verse 2. He shows up in verse 1. He shows up to tell King Ahab that it's not going to rain. What he's trying to do, God's trying to use him to get Israel's attention. How many know he'd like to get our attention? Huh? How many think that maybe he's got a plan for us as individuals? How many think that maybe he's got a plan for our church? And I'd like to hear that plan, wouldn't you? I think God's doing something in our community, and I want to be part. I don't want him. He's going to do it. I don't want to miss our part. Does that make sense? But I like verse 2 because it says Elijah shows up. He tells the king. Now evidently Ahab gets mad and is going to kill him, because in verse 2 he says, "Then the word of the Lord came to him saying." The word of the Lord came to him saying. And what did he say? He told him, he said, "Get out of here." He said, "Run to the brook. Go there." And he said, "I have commanded the ravens to feed you." Now that's interesting, because he says Ahab's mad because he's just given him a prophecy. It wasn't very good. And Ahab's going to get him, but God protects his messenger. He protects the person that's doing this for him, that's received this mission and it's accomplishing it. And then he says, "Run to the brook." He said, "I've commanded the ravens to feed you." Divine provision. You know, it's interesting, because when God tells us to do something, when he has a plan for our life, and when we follow that plan, you know, he takes care of every area of our life. Huh? Do you know he takes care of all the provision we need? And you know, an interesting thing about that story is, you know, did you ever think what would have happened if Elijah wouldn't have showed up at the brook? What if he wouldn't have went? You know what would have happened? Those ravens would have still taken the provision there. Can you see all that provision piled up because Elijah didn't get there to eat it? You see, there's a spiritual truth in the fact that God sends your provision, my provision. He sends our blessing, our provision, where we're supposed to be. He tells us what he wants us to do, and then as we do what he shows us to do, that blessing's there. That makes sense? I just thought that was interesting. If he wouldn't have showed up, the blessing still would have been, because God commanded it. Remember what he said in Isaiah? He said, "My word will do what I sent it to do." Huh? And so as he speaks his word to you and to me, what he says, he'll do. It'll happen. And so we know the story, the brook dries up, you know, and sometimes when we're doing the mission for God, everything isn't great, it isn't a lack of trouble and a lack of problems, and because we're doing God's work doesn't mean that we don't have any opposition or we don't face any difficulties, because he's there. What did he just tell Ahab? He said, it's not going to rain. What does that mean? That means eventually the brook's going to dry up. But here's what the neat thing is. In verse 8 and 98, he says, "And the word of the Lord came to him, saying." And he told him, he said, "Arise, go to the widow. Go over to the widow. I have commanded her to take care of you." You see, God's not going to stop all the difficulties in our life, but if we're trying to hear his voice and go and be led by his Spirit, he's going to take care of us, and he's going to take us through those difficulties. He's going to take us through those hard times. Do you ever think, what if Elijah wouldn't have gone? If he wouldn't have gone, he would have died at the brook, starved to death. But not only would he have not have starved to death, if he hadn't have gone, the widow wouldn't have had the provision to take care of her and her son all through the drought. So now, see, God's mission isn't just for us, it's for all those we influence. That makes sense? It isn't just me getting blessed, but your blessing depends on me, whether I do what God tells me to do or not. Interesting. And we know the story, she gets there, he gets there, and the ladies, you know, she says, well, I've only got a little bit. I'm just ready to make one little pancake here and meet it to my son. We're going to eat it and die. But Elijah tells her, he says, go make me a cake first and then make you and your son one. What would you do if you came into a church and a preacher said, and you only had a little bit, and somebody said, well, put that in the offering and then you'll have some. Well, most of us would just go, okay. But you know, that's kind of strange to a lot of folks. But I love what verse 13 says. Elijah said to her, she's worried, but she, you know, the Lord's already told her about this. She's already recognizing something. And because of what she had felt in her heart, what he had ministered to her, she listened to him. But this is what Elijah says to her. He says, do not fear. Go and do as you have said. Make me a small cake from it first, and then bring it to me, and afterwards make some for you and your son. And this is verse 14. This is what I want to hear. It says, this is why Elijah was able to say that. Because God had told him to. He said, thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor the jar of oil run dry, until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. You understand what's happening? The word of the Lord came to him saying, and the word of the Lord told him what to do. And when he was obedient and listened to God and did what God said, man, miracles happened. We know the story. All the flour and all the oil lasted through the whole drought, the whole 3.5 years or however much was left of it. And then later on, the son dies. So Elijah knows God spoke to him. This isn't supposed to be. And so Elijah goes and tries 3 times to raise the son from the dead. But he doesn't give up. He just keeps going back because he knows, because God's spoken to his heart, and he knows something's going to happen. And verse 22 says this. He says, then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back to him, and he was revived. I want you to understand what's happening. See, Elijah's not out here doing stuff to be doing stuff. He's out here listening to what God says and then obeying it. And because he's following God's lead, man, things are working in his life. The flow's happening. How many have ever been seasons in your life when it was working? You could just tell the flow was there. Everything might not have been perfect, but you could tell. Is that all? Oh, you really need this message. But you've been those times when it just weren't. Man, Elijah's, he's got it going on. He's listening to God, and God's directing him, and he's being obedient. And so now it's time for the drought to end. And in chapter 18:1, it says that he goes, the word of the Lord came to Elijah and said, go present yourself to Ahab. I'm going to send some rain. Now, you got to realize that took some faith for Elijah to do that, because Ahab was going to kill him. There was a decree out. Everybody was looking for Elijah. We're going to find that prophet and kill him. Huh? Because he didn't say what they wanted to hear. So it took a little bit of faith to do that. And we know the story. He takes all of Israel. They all go to the Mount Carmel, and you know, he tells them, said, now we're going to do something today, and I'm going to let all these prophets of Baal showed up, and he said, I want you guys to do your offering and pray to your God, and I'm going to pray to my God and do my offering sacrifice and pray to my God, and we're just going to see whose God's real, which one's real. And you know the story, the prophets of Baal, they fixed their sacrifice and they began to pray. And it says they prayed from morning till noon. Old Elijah, he was tormenting them a little bit. You know, he said, well, maybe pray a little bit louder. You know, pray a little bit harder. He said, maybe your God's meditating somewhere. And he says, you know, go ahead and pray a little bit louder. Maybe he's going to trip. You know, go ahead, pray harder and louder. Maybe he's sleeping somewhere and you just need to wake him up. And man, he's just tormenting the fire out of them. So they finally get done and nothing happens, and you know the story. Elijah gets down and he prays. The fire comes down. He has them pour water all over the sacrifice, and I'm going through this rather speedily, but most of you know the story. And so not only does, when the fire comes down, not only does it burn up the sacrifice and the altar, it burns up all the stones that are around it. There's a trench around it, full of water. It sucks up all the water. I mean, when God did it, he did it big time. If you were standing there watching, there wasn't any doubt in your mind who this God of Israel was. And we know then he killed all the prophets. And he sends the guy up on the mountain, sends his helper, his servant up on the hill and says, go up and see if any rain's coming. And the guy comes down and says, no, nothing coming. He said, well, go back up and look again. Comes down and says, no, nothing going on. He sends him up seven times. I want you to understand the tenacity of Elijah. Elijah's not taking no for an answer. What do you think the devil was doing those seven times the servant, six times the servant ran up and came back down and said, no sign of rain. The devil's telling him, no, see, I told you it wouldn't work. God didn't really say that. You didn't really hear God. Now you're going to look like a fool here. Elijah was so convinced that what God said he would do, he kept sending him back up. Finally, he got up and seventh time, and he said, well, it came down. He said, well, there's a cloud about the size of a man's fist. And Elijah said, oh, no. And told King Ahab, then you better gather the stuff up and get back to the city. We're fixing to have a flood. And I love what verse 46 says. Where is it? It says, and the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he girded himself up at his loins and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of the city. You understand what happened? Elijah says, man, there's a flood coming. We better get going. And God touched Elijah, and he outran all the chariots back to town, man. The hand of the Lord, supernatural strength. Probably what some of our Bible school VBS workers need today, some supernatural strength. Now, here he is. He's outrun he's done all these great miracles. It's raining. He's outrun the chariots back to town. And Jezebel hears that he killed all the prophets. And she says she's going to kill him. Now this is what you need to see. Something's changing now. Elijah's been in the flow. He's been hearing God and he's been obeying God and he's been, man, God's been proving himself strong. And I mean, stuff's been happening and he's been in the flow and everything that was supposed to happen has been happening. But something changes now. Jezebel says, I'm going to kill you. Just like you did those prophets, that's what I'm going to do to you. Verse 3 says, "And when he saw that," or when he heard that, "he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, and which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there." Verse 44 says, "But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and sat down under a broom tree and prayed that he might die." I want you to see the shift. Now, first off, he didn't really want to die. Because if he wanted to die, he would have just stayed there and let Jezebel kill him. So he didn't really want to die, but this is what I want you to see. What's different now? The word of the Lord's been coming to Elijah and telling him. What happened different this time? He didn't wait to hear the word of the Lord. He ran out on his own strength. He went on out to just by himself. It says he by himself. Himself went a day's journey. What happened when Ahab was going to kill him? The word of the Lord came to him. What happened this time? He didn't wait for the word of the Lord. I don't know, man. Maybe he thought it'd all work out okay. You know how many know that a lot of ministry today and a lot of stuff that's going on in the name of the Lord, he didn't really tell people to do? Are you alive? We run and we get out there on our own, but let me tell you something. If you're out there on your own, it's not the same. He ran and said, "I just want to die." And of course, he's feeling sorry for himself. And he's telling God, "I'm the only one serving you. I'm the only one left. Isn't that what we do? Have you ever been out on your own and wonder where God went? We know the story. This is, the angel. The angel shows up. Now I want you to get the picture here. Elijah's been on his assignment. He's been on his mission. He's been following the Holy Spirit. He's been following his lead. He's been getting it done. And now he's stepped out of the will of God. He's got sidetracked. He's off on his own. And so what does God do? It says that he sent the angel. Where am I at here? Verse 5, it says, "He laid there and slept under the broom tree, and suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, 'Arise and eat.'" Now I want you to understand what's happening here. The angel had fixed him something to eat and had him some water there, and he said, "Arise and eat." The angel did that twice to him. And the angel says this. He says, the second time he does it, he says, "The journey is too great for you." Now, he's not talking about the journey that he's on. He's getting ready to run for 40 days and end up in a cave. He's talking about the journey, the mission that God had for him to start with. You see what's happening? The angel's getting back on, trying to get Elijah back on track. He's trying to get him going. He's trying to get him off center. He's trying to get his attention again. Because something's happened, and now Elijah's not hearing the voice of the Lord. You know, many times we find ourselves off center. We find ourselves making wrong turns. We find ourselves out here somewhere, and we wonder. It's amazing. I like it. He runs to the cave, and he's in the cave. Now, think how he is. He's been running 40 days. Been 40 days since he ate. He's running. He's sitting there in the cave, and it says, the word of the Lord came to Elijah. You know what he said to him? He said, "Elijah, what are you doing here?" Now you need to understand something. This mountain that he ran to was called the mountain of God. And so I believe in my heart, Elijah was probably trying to find God. He was running, but he was just running through the wilderness, and he was running on his own strength, and he was running and he was going to try to find God, and all the time God was trying to speak to him and he wouldn't listen. How many know that that happens to us often? You know, I wonder if God could say anything to us right now. Would he say, Hank, what are you doing there? You ever feel unfulfilled? You ever feel lost? You ever feel like you don't know what's going on? Every once in a while, I need to just stop and go, God, I got to find myself. Well, the problem is somewhere the voice of the Lord didn't come to me. I didn't hear it. You see, I love it. He goes on here and he tells Elijah to get in the mouth of the cave, and you know the story. But Elijah's trying to find God. You ever been in a place and you're just trying to find God? You're trying to find His will? Most of the time we're trying to find out how to get out of this mess, right? You with me? And he stands in the mouth of the cave, and you know the story, a tornado comes, it says a wind, a tornado, a cyclone, something, and tears the mountain up, and it says, but God was not in the wind. Then an earthquake comes and shaking the earth, and it says, but God was not in the earthquake. And then it says, and so fire came, and he said, God's not in the fire. He said, and then a still small voice came. You know what happened? It clicked in Elijah. That's what I've been looking for. That's what I've been waiting for. How many know when we're in difficulties or we're trying to seek God and we're trying to look for answers that we want something spectacular to tell us, you know. We want some big sign that, you know, God, shake the earth and let me know that it's you. But you know what? When God speaks to us, He doesn't speak to us in the exterior. He speaks to us in our heart. In that still, when it says all through here, the word of the Lord came to Elijah, that word of the Lord that came to him came in his spirit. You know, I've had some crises. Anybody ever been in some crises in your life? And I've been in a few crises. I'm not even going to mention this to get sympathy or to get you thinking a different direction or anything. But you know, I remember when I lost my son, and when I finally, you know, I mean, I'm going, God, why? God, how did this happen? God, you know, and I'm asking all these questions, and really, part of me is a little bit mad because God let it happen, and I'm wrestling all these things, and I'm wondering, man, God, have I ever heard you? Because this was the one thing that I knew you wouldn't let happen. And I remember after a few days or weeks or whatever, it's all kind of a blur, but I said, God, how am I going to know when it's you? And just as clear as I've ever heard God, a voice said, I'm going to talk to you the same way I always talk to you, in that still, small voice. You know, I want God's direction on my life, don't you? I want His will in my life. But I'm not able to watch the signs. He'll do things out here to confirm what He's telling me in here. But folks, if He isn't telling you in here first, don't start paying attention to all these things out here. You'll be off in left field somewhere. And when that voice came, this is what it said. Elijah, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? You're in the wrong place. You're not where I told you to be. You get it? I I believe that God has a master plan. Now stick with me for a couple minutes here. I believe He has a master plan to reach the world with His love. Jesus said it like this. He said, I came to do the master plan. Except what He said was, I came to do the will of my Father. Didn't He? Come on, get with me. Don't wake up for just a second. I believe His master plan is to lead everybody, that everybody comes to Him. He doesn't want anybody to perish. I have a problem with these folks who say, well, Hank, you can't get everybody saved. I'm sorry, God must think we can. And at least if I'm trying to get everybody back to God, I'll get more people back to Him than if I'm not trying. I believe He has a plan and to reach the world. And in that plan is a smaller plan to reach the countries. And in that plan is a smaller plan to reach the communities. And in that plan is a smaller plan to use you to be part of His plan. You see, I just happen to believe that God has a purpose for every one of our lives. He said, told everyone, He said, go into the world. What did He say? Go into your world and tell everybody about Me. Right? And so they went. And after they were gone, they began to establish churches so that the work of the ministry could get done. So that God's people could grow and be part of that vision, that assignment. Does that make sense? You see, I believe that God has churches. And I believe He places us where He wants us to be. I believe He places you, and if you're here on purpose. You might have thought it was your idea to come, but God places you places because he has an assignment for you, and He wants to be you to be part of something that He's doing. He wants you to be part of the answer. Does that make any sense? He had a plan to get Israel's attention, and so He sent Elijah. He sent him on an assignment. And as long as he listened to God, as long as he could hear God, the plan, everything went as planned. When he went on his own, when he left that will of God, when he went out on his own, things got complicated. Have there ever been times in your life when things were complicated? You see, I believe God's placed every one of you here for a reason. I believe He has different churches for a reason. I believe He is beginning already to do something in our area that He's never been able to do before. And we've seen some stuff. But I believe that he has different assignments for different churches, and we have to know where He fits us in. He has an assignment for you. As long as you stay on course, things work out. Huh? You grow. Your needs are met supernaturally. You feel fulfilled. Why? Because you're carrying out your assignment. There's a witness in there that God's using you. How many know nothing feels better than when you do something and you know God told you to do it and it worked and then somebody was blessed because of what you did? Man, there's no, you know, you money can't touch that. Just a fulfillment in there. Now listen, your assignment, you may not be an Elijah. You might be a raven or a widow. The church is only going to be as strong as the people in that church. Your vision, your assignment might not be to be Elijah, but it might be to help. It might be to be a part. Maybe you're not called to reach 10,000 people, but could God use you to be part of a work that enabled a church to reach 10,000 people? Huh? And if that begins to happen and God says it and that begins to happen, it really doesn't matter what your assignment is, big or little. If you sweep the floor, you have just as much a part in that accomplishment, that work of God. Let me deal with something real quick. I'm going to have to do this quick, but you know, it seems like that the mentality, the church mentality, not yours, but a lot of church mentality now seems to be that we stay in our place as long as there's no difficulty. I mean, we stay where we know we're supposed to be as long as it's not uncomfortable. You know, I'll stay here as long as too much is not demanded of me. But when it doesn't feel good anymore, and when I don't like something that was said or something that was done, as soon as I start feeling bad, I'm, you know, a little bit of struggle and a little bit of difficulty, and they begin to expect too much of me, then I'm going to go find someplace else where I can be happy. Let me say something. Happiness and the joy of the Lord aren't the same thing. Happiness can change and just shift just like that, but the joy of the Lord is something that's solid inside of you. That makes sense? And so they leave and they go find another church. And after a while, they've tried so many churches that now they don't even go anymore. Just not any churches out there. Just nobody's preaching the word. Nobody's meet. I can't find a church that meets my needs. Can I say something in love? God never told you to go to a church and get your needs met. That's God's job. If you're out here trying to meet somebody's needs, you're trespassing. See, we're to get each other and ourselves closer to our Father so that He can give us everything we need. You say, well, I don't agree. Well, that's probably why you're in a cave. But what the Bible says in Corinthians, He says He gave every one of us gifts. Why? For my personal gain? For my personal happiness? No, He gave each one of us gifts so that we could use them on each other. Say, well, I'm just not getting my needs met. Well, I have never had a need met when I was focusing on my need. But as soon as I started helping somebody else and trying to help them with their need, my needs got taken care of. He said He gave us all gifts so that they would profit each other. In Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, well, let me just read that to you real quick. It says, and let us each consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together in the manner of some. You know what that says in the Greek? What that means in the Greek? It means go to church. I'm sorry, I haven't colored any way you want, but that's what it means. Go to church. Don't neglect it like some are doing. Now I'm preaching to the choir here because you came out in the rain and came. So, but it says, but exhorting one another, and so much more as the day approaches. You see, I'm supposed to come, and we're supposed to exhort each other. We're supposed to build each other up. We're coming out of a world. How many knows? It's terrible out there. It's bad out there. It's not getting any better. I can't even turn the news on for more than 5 minutes and my spirit's all churning. There's so much hate. There's so much mean. Man, we need this fellowship together. But what we're here is we come here to help each other, to lift each other up, to pump each other up. Ephesians says that he gave the gifts. He gave the fivefold ministry to the church. And this is why he gave them to us. To equip the saints for the work of the ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ. We talk about vision. And we use Proverbs 29:18. And we say, because it says, people perish for the lack of wisdom. And let me speak to all you preachers that might be watching this, all you ministry people that might be watching this. Don't let somebody put the pressure on you. You're not supposed to have the vision. What that word vision means is a fresh revelation from God. As the pastor, I'm not supposed to have some big vision that we go off on a journey. I am supposed to find out what God's vision is, what He's saying, and then try to lead you that direction. Does that make sense? And here's the thing, I can't lead you unless you're getting that fresh revelation too. So it's my job to hear his vision and then say, let's go. And when I hear his vision, it bears witness with you because you've been hearing his vision. Make sense? But anyway, I need to move on to this, But what I want you to begin to understand is he's given us all gifts and talents and abilities. But it's not for our personal gain. He makes sure we gain plenty personally. But it's so that we can get the work of God done. His vision is still. It's still. I want the world saved. I want everybody to come to me. So, I want you to understand the story of Elijah here. Elijah is telling Ahab and the word of the Lord comes to him and tells him what to do. And he does that. And then he says the ravens are going to feed you. Then he says the word of the Lord came to him. It was time to move to a different spot. It was time to change position. And he said, go here. The widow is going to take care of you. The word of the Lord came to him and said, you go do this. And then the word of the Lord came to him and said, it's time now for it to rain. Go to Ahab. The word of the Lord came to him and told him what to do on the mountain. The word of the Lord came to him and told him, and then all of a sudden, there wasn't any word anymore. When Jezebel was going to kill him, he didn't wait for the word of the Lord. And we find him running in his own strength. We find him running trying to find God. We find him at a place that many of us are at a lot of the time. We're running. We want God. God, help me, help me, help me. But you know, here's the amazing thing about the story. When the still small voice came back and spoke to Elijah, he said, what are you doing here? I just wonder if he could talk to us today. How many of us would he say, what are you doing here? Why aren't you where I told you to be? What are you doing in this place in life? I told you what to do. But this is what's amazing. It says that the word of the Lord, when it came to him, that still small voice, what it said to him, he said, now, go back and return to what I told you to do in the first place. He didn't change his plan for Elijah. He said, no, this is what I said. This is where it's supposed to be. Go back and do it. I wonder how many of us are struggling in life because we've missed a direction. We've missed an order somewhere. And now we're out here struggling and everything, you know, we're like a fish swimming upstream and everything's knocking us down. I wonder if maybe we shouldn't go back to wherever it was, whatever it was that he told us. Does that make sense? You see, I just see the secret is, the truth is, there's a whole bunch of the body of Christ today that we're just kind of wondering generalities. We're just out here trying to do good. And you know, you can do good, but if it's not the good God told you to do, it doesn't work right. It's like we're getting out here trying to do good so that we can earn some kind of merit badge with God. It's like we're trying to do good so we can earn some favor with Him. But the truth is, He already gave us all that. He said, now will you just listen and obey? It's one thing to feed the poor, but it's another thing for God to tell you which poor to feed. It's another thing for Him to tell you how to feed them. It's another thing for you to listen to His direction. How many? I've had to kind of rush through this and miss some points that I was going to make. I probably didn't need to anyway, because I think the Holy Spirit's already talked to you. But how many realize that at times you're just not hearing God? You don't really know where you went wrong. You know, every once in a while you just have to stop. You know, you ask most Christians, they don't have a clue that they have an assignment. They don't have a clue that there's something specific for God to do, that wants to do with them and use them in. You got whole churches that way. And folks, we as a church can get the same way. It can happen to us. I don't know about you, but I've decided, God, I want to hear you. And I want to obey you. I want to go your way. I want to do what you've got me to do. I got a whole bunch of good ideas. I mean, everybody's got good ideas. But God, I want your ideas. How many want that in your life? You say, man, I want that. And maybe you find yourself in a place, you say, God, Hank, I just really don't know everything you're talking about today, but I know something's uneasy in here. Something's not right. You know, every once in a while, we just need to stop and just get some direction. Every once in a while, we just need to turn the world off and say, God, I need to hear you. How many ever been there? God, I know all of it, but I need to hear you. I think that's where we are as a church. I've never seen a bunch of people with such good hearts that want to serve God, that want to be used by Him. I've never seen such good people as you. And the ones that usually sit next to you that aren't here today too, we'll include them. Sometimes we just need to stop and say, God, you got my attention. Tell me what you have for me. Anybody feel that way? Be honest. Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask you as a church, and there's some that aren't here, and I'm going to ask you to tell some of those that aren't here. But I'm going to ask you as a church to join the staff and the board. We've agreed to go on a 30-day fasting and prayer the month of July. We've decided that we want God's will, and we want His will for our life. We want His will for our church. We want to be part of the plan that He's doing in this area. And so I'm asking all of you to join us in a 30-day prayer and fasting. That doesn't mean you need to fast for 30 days. That means for the next 30 days, we're shutting other things down in our life and trying to concentrate and focus on God. That means that we're going to spend extra time in prayer. There's different kinds of fasting. We probably all need to fast some food, some. Okay? But I had a guy the other day say, you know, Hank, I can't fast a week. I said, I'm not asking you to fast a week. Can you fast a day? You know, can you fast something? I thought, I was teasing somebody. I said, he might tell you to fast ball games. And I thought, oh, I know what he's going to tell me. But now the way the Cardinals are playing, that'd be easy for me to fast them. See? Won't be no problem at all. I'm talking about is this registering with you? I'm talking about an attitude. I'm talking about spending time with him. We've got some cell groups that are going to come on their cell group night, and they're going to come to church, and they're going to pray over the seats and stuff. Nathan said last week, talked about coming in early and praying for the church and praying for the people that are coming in. The music people met this morning early and prayed. I'm asking you to join me. How many will join me for 30 days of fasting and prayer? You fast all you can. I mean, just do what you can. Let the Lord lead you. And if you fast more than a couple of days or something in a row, don't fast water. You need the liquid in you. But I'm just asking you, just ask God. God, you lead me into this time of prayer. And while you're doing it, I want you to pray for the church. I want you to pray for every area of the church. Every department, every area of the church. But I want you to pray that God would show us our part of the plan for this area. You with me? Now don't shout me down just because I'm preaching good. I'm trying to quit. Pray for me that I'll hear. Pray for the staff that we'll all hear. I'm hungry for God, are you? I'm hungry for what He's got for us. I'm ready to seek Him. I'm ready to find Him. I'm ready to quit playing, quit playing. I want to know God. Not that we've been doing anything wrong, but we haven't been doing everything we can. And after that, I want you to pray that God will show you what your part is. Show you things that you can do to make our church stronger, to make our church be able to accomplish His will. Does that make sense? How many will join me for that? Everybody. Good. Will you tell some folks that aren't here? See, we always want things to change, and when God comes to change, the part that He changes is in here. and we're looking for answers everywhere, but the place He's going to talk to us is that still small voice in our spirit. That's how He's going to lead us and guide us. And so I'm believing for some exciting things to happen. I'm believing for God to do some things, and I'm believing Him to show us for some things. Will you believe that with me? Okay. You could get a little more excited about it. Say, well, I don't know if I'm excited about all this fasting and stuff. Well, get excited about praying then. How about that? Get excited about praying. And you do what God leads you to do. So how many praying and you want to be all you can be for God? Sorry it took so long, but I just needed you to hear this. I just needed you. We've got to learn the difference between just doing and hearing God tell us and then doing what He told us. We've got to know the difference. And so I'm expecting to hear some good things from Him. And probably most of us, He's going to say, well, now do you remember back here when I told you that? Go back there. Return to where I told you. And he didn't get mad at Elijah. He didn't get mad at him or be mean to him or nothing. He said, go back where you supposed to go, and then go back to that wilderness, and then go where I told you to go, and anoint this one, anoint this one, anoint this one, and do what I told you to do. Probably many of us he's gonna say, go back, remember what I told you? How many, if you are off track, you'd like to know how to get back on track? Listen to that still small voice. If you spend 30 days praying with me, we're going to hear some stuff in our spirit. Does that make sense? Everybody stand. I speak God's blessing on you, and I believe Him to bless you in every area of your life. I believe Him to show you something this 30 days that'll revolutionize your life, that'll change your life forever. Father, I ask that you, by your Holy Spirit, speak to each of our hearts. I know this is what you've desired us to do and what you've asked us to do, and we're willingly doing it. We're going to press, we're going to fast, we're going to pray, we're going to seek you, God. Maybe harder than we've sought you in a long time, but we're coming after you because we want to hear your voice. We want to do what you have us to do. We want to walk in that flow with you, God. And we know if we'll do that, you're going to do great things. You're going to see many saved. You're going to see many lives touched. I know that's your heart, Lord, and that's what we want to be our heart. Right now, if you've never asked Jesus into your heart, made Him your Lord, right now just say, Jesus, come into my heart. Save me right now. I love you. I give you my life. Help me live it for you. Pray it in your name, Jesus. Amen. If you prayed that or you want to pray that, come on down. Doug and some of us will pray with you. We'll be happy to. Hey, I love you. Thank you for staying a little longer today. We'll have some shorter ones in the future to make up for it. How about that? Hey, I love you. Have a great day. Be back tonight and see the movie if you can.